Let us pray. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, we praise your glory and honor goes to you, Father, Lord. We thank you for this day, Father. Thank you for your eternal, everlasting love, which has shown thee us a grace, Father. We thank you for everything you have done for us, Father. Lord, we pray for today's message, Lord. Open the hearts, Father, of the people. Open the ears, Father. Let not it be that I speak, Father, but you speak through me, Father. Let it not be my own words, Father, but let it be by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, Lord. That whatever is said is not said by my own understanding, but by your understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wow, as Matthew said, this is, in fact, my last Sunday. And this would be the last time I speak here. And there have been a lot of memories, and I have grown a lot in this church from the very beginning when Pastor Kent and Pastor Matthew started this church. I was just a spectator, and in the last few years, a few times God has given me the opportunity, I stand here, and I stand here again today. Today I wanted to share a certain passage in the Bible, John 3:16. For me, John 3:16 is the, at least from in my book, the most important verse in the Bible. It sums up the gospel altogether. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There is great depth to this verse. And this verse has touched me deeply. And if you look at from a theological perspective, I'll also like to say that once, that's why I have it here. The word loved in the Bible, in the original Greek, is agapao, if I pronounce it correctly. Unconditional love, love by choice, and an act of the will. The word denotes unconquerable belovedness and undefeatable goodwill. It's an unconditional love, love by choice. Amen? So let's just break this down a bit. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How many of us are parents here? Okay, and the others you will get to know in time. Now, your children, you know how precious your children are to you. You know, I have a father and mother. I presume everybody else has a father and mother. And my dad used to tell me, "I love you, son." And I said, "Yeah, I love you back." And I do love him. And he loves me as well. But once I had my own child, I realized what he actually meant. The love of the father for the son, for the daughter, is so amazing. Then I realized, wow, now I appreciate what my father did for me, because now I have my own three kids. I can understand the love I have for them. It's unspeakable. You're willing to die for your kids. It's that love. And imagine you as a father sacrifice your own son to save somebody who doesn't even care about you. That's crazy love. That's I call God crazy at times. This love is unimaginable. And that's what God did here. He loved us so much as his own son, that he gave his son for us, that if we believe in him, we will not perish but have everlasting life. Now, what does that love mean actually? Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There is no precondition for his love. What did he do? You and I were sinners. We didn't really care about God. Yet he still loved us so much that he died for us, hoping that we would turn to him. There was no condition for us that, Lord, come to, that we first have to come to the Lord and then he will save us. No. That doesn't work that way. It says he demonstrated his own love towards us. Look at the word. While we were still sinners. That is, before we came to Christ, he died for us. Before. There is no precondition that, okay, first, Lord, I will try to fix myself and then I'm presentable in the church. Hell no. Forgive me, I don't know. In India, this is a normal sentence. Here, I don't know if that's the case. In heaven's sake, no. Okay? Yeah. While you were still sinners, you are qualified to come to the throne of God because he gave his son for you through his love. It doesn't matter. You say, "Oh, I sin too much. I've been given a task. I'm not worthy. Of course we're not worthy. But by the blood of Christ, by His dying, by His giving of His Son, we become worthy. Our righteousness is basically His righteousness. We wear His righteousness. Amen? And that means, whenever you hear in your head that I'm not worthy, I'm still a sinner, maybe I should do this and this and this, then God will help me. No. No. That is a lie. Because when you were sinners, He died for you. He died for you because He loved you. It was love one way. He loved us first. He chose us first. Therefore, when we were sinners, and why I'm emphasizing this is the devil is such a big liar that he keeps putting in your head that I'm too big a sinner. I cannot come to the throne of God. The sick need a doctor. A healthy person does not. That's what Jesus said. Of course, I paraphrase, but that's what Jesus said. Only a sick person needs a doctor. We are sick in the spiritual sense. We are sinners. Do you come to a doctor when you're healthy? No. Do you prepare yourself for the doctor that I look presentable and healthy before I go and get healed? No. You go when you are sick. You go to the throne when you are a sinner. Amen? Amen? That's why you go. And that's what this verse is so important. What you saw in John 3:16, what I'm trying to do is that I'm going to break that verse down over these different passages. Shall we go to the next passage? Luke 15:11 to 24. I'll read this here and we'll break this down. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. Before I go further, remember the last verse. When we were sinners, that is, when before we knew God. Now we know God, but when we were sinners, we did not know God, and He died for us then. He says, then a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, tell me, does the younger son know his father? Yes? That's why he's talking to his father. Is he not talking to his father? Come on, guys, are you alive? Hello? Just participate. So a certain man had said two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, that means he's talking to his father, in this case, God the Father. Yeah? Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them to his livelihood. You know, when we come to Christ, we are blessed. We are blessed in abundance because our Father is the King of Kings. We have inheritance. We have blessings. We have abundance of spiritual growth and blessing others. Amen? And then what happens further down, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. This is sometimes many Christians of us. We know the Father, we come to Christ, we get saved, we get the blessings, we grow forward, the other side looks very attractive, and then we backtrack, we fall away from faith. That has happened to many people, even me. And this reminds me of a story. Once there was this guy who, you know, he died and he went to heaven. And there was heaven on the right side and hell on the left side, whichever preference you side, left or right. I'm just using that example. That doesn't mean left is bad and right is good. But coming back, the right side was heaven, left side was hell. And in the left side, there was a DJ and partying and it looked very attractive and a lot of fun and a lot of sports and stuff. And on the right side, heaven looked very boring, people in white clothes praising God. And then the angel asked, where do you want to go? He says, I want to go to hell because there it's like Hotel California. There's a lot of place there. And it's pretty attractive. He said, are you sure? Once you go there, you cannot come back. He said, yeah, I want to go there. And he goes there. And then once he gets inside, this big, strong angel-type bouncer comes, picks him up, puts him in the ground upside down and pushes him in the ground. He said, what are you doing? Oh, this is hell. Welcome to hell. He said, but what about that? Oh, that's our propaganda department, our media department. You know? So that's what happens, is that we're so attracted, although it's in a funny tone I tell you, but we're so attracted to the other side at times that even with all the blessings, with all the promises and everything, we backtrack. We go away willingly. We take the blessings. And God does not take away our blessings. You see here. He says, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided them to his livelihood. God gives him the blessing. What God gives, He gives. Nobody can take it away.
Amen.
Amen. Then not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living, worldly living, forgetting about God. For some of us, this sounds familiar. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he said to him into his fields and fed the swine. And he became so hungry that he was willing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but nobody gave him anything. What you may notice here is that once you come to Christ, you have blessings and you grow abundantly, you are at peace. But you feel that you're missing out on life, you're missing out on the worldly things. Then you go there, you enjoy it, there's this short term of pleasure, short term of satisfaction. And after that, you realize you are worse off than what which you started with. Amen? And this happened to a lot of us. Now, we get lost in our worldly desires that we realize that we are in a mess than what when we were in our Father's house. We were much better. We were much better in our Father's house. And when we go out, we enjoy a temporary satisfaction because of the devil's temptation. And then we're worse. We're very worse. And then somewhere else in the Bible says that when you cast out a demon, it goes out. It goes around in the world. If it doesn't find a space and the current vessel which it left, vessel means human being, is weak, it brings seven more spirits with it and dwells in it. And the condition of that person is far worse than it was before. And that's what's happening here. Leaving the grace of God makes us become so bad. Then the next verse, if you go forward in that, but when he came to himself, then he realized, you know, the self-realization. What am I in? I'm in a mess. God, what did I do? Why did I leave you? Remember, this guy is a believer. He has a father. He knows his father. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, self-realization, and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your higher servants. You know, you feel so guilty that even God saved you, that God, I'm not even worthy anymore. You died for me. You shed your blood. I got saved, Father. And look at me, Father. I'm so weak. I fall away and I go in a much worse situation. I'm not even worthy to just save me and put me at a servant level. I'm just happy there. Don't use me. I'm not good enough. I cannot move forward. I'm going to sin again. Help me, Father. And that's why he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. That means he was alive again. And he was lost and he is found, and they began to be merry. This is amazing, you know. You know, this is repentance. You repent, and suddenly everything is gone. What you did in your history has nothing, no bearing on the present. It's gone. You don't even deserve the ring he's giving. We don't deserve the ring he's giving us. We just wear it. Give us a robe. And we're given glory for what we do not deserve. That's his love. That's his love. Remember the first part, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we were sinners, he died for us. When we left him, he waited for us. That's love. That's unconditional love. And that's what this prodigal son is about. We are the prodigal son. We fall, we get up. A righteous person will fall seven times and he'll get up again seven times.
Amen?
Amen? Let's go to the next verse. Jeremiah 31:3. This is the secret. The Lord has appeared of old to me saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Everlasting. What does everlasting mean? Forever. Never diminishing. Never stopping. That's what everlasting. Eternal. So when God so loved the world, it was everlasting love. So it doesn't matter if you are a sinner, if you were a sinner, or you may fall back again. He loves you. Period. Nothing less, nothing more. He loves you and he'll never leave you. Get that in. Because the devil is a liar. He's like a roaring lion seeing who he can tear apart. Amen? And he tells you this lie that you cannot be in God's grace anymore because of what you have done, even after you're saved. This is the grace period. Has Jesus come yet? He is to come, right? When he comes, then the judgment comes. Right now, we're in the grace period. It doesn't mean we're supposed to continue sinning. That's not the intention of this message. The intention of this message is encouragement that we are weak, but he is strong. And he will take you up because he loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? And that's what it is. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting. Whenever the devil puts in your heart that you're so bad, you did this, this, and this, bring up this verse, Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Because you, as Christians, have authority in the name of Jesus to trample over scorpions, to cast out demons, to pray for the sick. It doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. I don't care if you sin this morning, God still loves you. I don't care if you fall again, God still loves you. Amen? And God will lift you up. God will keep you. There's nothing in this world. Let's go to the next verse. Isaiah 49, 15:1. Now this is another aspect of John 3:16. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have a compassion on the son of her womb? Most likely not. But in the world, we have seen in cases in which mothers have totally rejected their birth child, which is very scary to hear. And God says, surely they may forget, which has happened. Yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand, the nails on the cross for you. It was for you. And your walls, your houses are continuously in front of me. You yourself. He will never forget you. He will never forsake you. That's what the Bible says. You may forget him. He will not forget you. You may fall back. He will lift you up. It is not by our own works, but by his love and grace. Amen? That's why this verse is so precious. A nursing mother, my mother, my daughter's son's mother, there is a chance in this world we can forget them. But he will never forget you. He will never forget you. Amen? And that's because he loved you. He loved you so much. Romans 8:35. Now, we have seen that when we were sinners, he died for us. When we left him, he waited for us. And he loved us with an everlasting love. And he will never forget us. Therefore, Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations? No. Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or the sword? Or the gun? Depending where you're from. But can this separate us from God? No. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. This is the assurance, no matter what happens, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Now, if tomorrow, tonight, or this morning, if the devil put in you, I'm not worthy, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It is there in Scripture, and the Scripture is the truth. If you believe, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Your faith is based on this verse that nothing can separate us from God. Amen? Amen. And that's the amazing part. No matter how good or bad we are, it is irrelevant. Of course, that doesn't mean that we do it willingly, sinfully. But the intention is to grow out of it. You know, he says, come as you are. You know, when we were sinners, with our whatever problems we have, whatever sins we have, doesn't matter. You come to him and he fixes you. As long as you stay with him, it's a process. He fixes you completely. Amen? Let's go to the next verse, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. This is one of my favorite verses, which I've also spoken in the past, but I thought this was appropriate in this section. For I know the thoughts I have, I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So let's see what happened. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, beloved Son, unique Son, that whomsoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that life is in abundance, the Bible says. So he doesn't count your sins when you were a sinner. He brings you in as you are. He molds you. He fixes you. You backslide. You fall back. He waits for you patiently. He prays for you. Jesus prays for you, groaning with the Holy Spirit to the Father, that let this flower grow. Do not throw it out. I will plant it. It will bear fruit. And then you come back, and there's celebration. And then he says, I have plans for you to give you a future and a hope. This verse, I struggled a lot. I wanted to be an astrophysicist. I don't know if you watched The Big Bang Theory, some of you. But and an Indian being an astrophysicist, that's stereotypical. At NASA, I wanted to work at NASA. But God had other plans for me. I said, I want to do this. He threw me into biotechnology, my second choice. I said, okay, I'll do biotechnology. And then I wanted to study in the U.S. I want to go to the U.S. He brought me to Netherlands. He said, okay. He brought me in Delft. I was studying there, and then I worked there. And then I said, no, I want to do a PhD in molecular biology. I want to do real science. I was finding jobs. I couldn't get it. And I was from Delft, one of the best universities in the world. God had other plans. He gave me a PhD in public health genomics, which is science policy. And then I get a cum laude in that. And then I said, no. I want to do a postdoc in this. He keeps me there. And then suddenly, before I know, I'm a CEO of two companies in biotechnology. How is that possible? I didn't even think of that. I wanted to be an astrophysicist. And now after being CEO for 6 months, God says, go back to India. I just got here. I just became a CEO. I'm going to get fat checks. I'm going to get a lot of money, bonuses. Why are you sending me back? But God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. When I was depressed, when I was thinking, God, I want to do this in my career. I want to do this in my career. He said, no. I was too stubborn. That's why it was much difficult for me. But he pushed me in the right direction, saying, this is your future. I'm going back to India as an associate professor of biotechnology and the director of the technology transfer office, where my job is to start up new biotech companies. Okay, that makes sense. 6 months, I can leave it then. But you see what God does. It doesn't matter what job. This is an analogy. Never compare yourself with others. He has better plans for you. He sees the future. He has saved you when you were a sinner. He loved you when you left him. And he brought you back, and he has plans for you. And he loves you. He will never forget you. And nothing can separate you from the love of God. And you just have to rely on him 100%. And he will give you the best spiritual and professional career possible. You do not rely on your own understanding. That's what I did. I said, God, I want to do this, this, this. He showed me. He broke me down. He showed me your crap, basically. You cannot do anything. Thank God I didn't say the other word. In India, that's not a curse word, by the way. I already told my pastor that. That's not a curse word there. It's just normal, like, you know. Okay, where was I? So he says he has the thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. Amen? And he has given me a future. And when I go to India, I'm thinking, what am I going to do there? There's a lot of corruption, too crowded. Well, I'm Indian, 1.2 billion. I don't complain. Be fruitful and multiply. That's okay. But we need to spread out a bit, you know. And I think, God, what am I going to do there? And technology transfer is starting up new spin-off companies. Netherlands is one of the forefront countries in the world where entrepreneurship and startup companies come out. India is not. What am I going to do there? There's no opportunity for me there. Then be thankful of what God has done for you before. Where he brought me out and what he made me into was not on my own understanding. It was his grace. And his grace will lead me to whatever unknown I'm going into. Because it is by faith we are saved. Not by our works. By his righteousness, by his love. Amen? So brothers and sisters, be encouraged. You have been saved. Sin has no place in your life. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. You have been given authority in Christ. Whenever sin comes, whenever temptation comes, flee from it. Run away and rebuke it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, temptation, leave me. You have authority. You have the faith. You do not need a special person to pray upon you and something happens, which does happen. But the point is, it doesn't matter because you have been given that authority by the Great Commission. Once you are saved, you are the kings and queens. Amen. You are the sons and daughters of the God of the Most High. You have full authority. The devil can do nothing to you. Temptations will come. Jesus was tempted. Jesus was tempted in anything you can imagine, yet without sin. So are we, because we are not of this world, but we have been placed in this world. We belong to Christ. Amen? And He has a future for you. No matter what you think, God, I want to be this. He may have other plans. Read the Word. Pray and meditate. God will reveal your plans to Him. Jeremiah 33 verse 3, call unto me and I shall answer. That's my favorite verse. Because I use that in my email, Jalb333. Because call unto me and I shall answer. Anyway, that was a bad joke. But coming back to the point, He loves you so much that He gave His only Son for you and has shown you so much grace and love through His blood, abundance blood, has wiped us of all sins and is also preparing us for the next part in our life. We only have to believe, not our own understandings, not trying to do guesswork that, okay, this I've done guesswork, trust me, it doesn't work. And God has brought me from place to place. I've been discouraged, but I've been discouraged because of my own understanding. If you leave it on God, nothing is impossible. He will do it. Do not say, God also fulfills your desires. He has done mine. I wanted to work in business. God put me in business. I wanted to work in science. God put me in science. I wanted to run a company. He made me run a company. But not on my terms, on His terms. And He fulfilled my desires, and now He says, son, it is now time to go back home to India. You know, our sister Sandy here gave a very good analogy of me. Sometimes God gave her a vision of me like a child. And you know, when you have, you know, in India it's weird, you know. Let me put it this way. When we have a dog, we tie a dog with a rope and move it around, right? We don't do that with children. That's weird for us. But here, apparently in Netherlands, that's normal if your kid is hyperactive or something so it doesn't run away. You keep it in a rope. I've seen that here. I've seen people putting dogs in baby trolleys. That's messed up in India. I mean, we don't do that stuff there. We feed the hungry, man. We have more kids than we need. But coming back to the analogy, what Sandy was saying, that she saw me once as a child on that, not dog rope, that human baby rope. And God holding me on one hand, and I'm running around like crazy. Each time I run away, God pulls me back. Each time I run this direction, God pulls me back. Because I was too ambitious. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. I was in India, the Asian cultures, you want to make your parents proud because you have to do more than what they've done. I became so over ambitious that I lost what is the real meaning of life. It is family. It is love. It is not jobs. Jobs is just a part of it. We are to witness in our job. And then God pulled me back. Each time I went, He pulled me back. When I was too stubborn, He broke me. He broke me into little pieces so I can understand His love. Because He has a plan for us. We don't need to make our own plans. Of course, we're supposed to prepare. But He's the person who will tell us where to go. Amen? Amen? Let's go to the next verse. This is amazing. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? You know, back then copper, now it's euros. Well, not there, but here. And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Your hairs, for those who don't have hairs, He still counts those former hairs. Yeah? He counts them. It doesn't matter. This is an analogy that He knows you so well. He knows you so well, right? He even knows the number of your hairs. You cannot count it. And the birds, they do not reap or sow, yet their Father is able to feed them, right? And here, why do we worry? Do not fear. The Bible says, you know what faith is? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is your faith. Let's act your faith. Do not fear, therefore. This is your faith. Claim it. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Don't worry what you're going to eat or drink or how you're going to live your life in the future. God will take care of you. You're supposed to act. Act out in faith. And God will take care of you because He gave His only Son so you can have life and life in abundance, both spiritually and physically. You're not supposed to be begging from others. No saint's children will beg from anybody. That's in the Old Testament. And therefore, do not worry. He's the King of Kings. He will take care of you. He has saved you. He's not going to just leave you there after saving you. Okay, you're saved, you go to heaven, that's it. No. He's not going to forget you. He has loved you with an everlasting love. He will take care of you. He will make your career on earth, and He will make your career in the spiritual realm. You will be a blessing to everybody. Amen? You just have to believe that. Believe and you will see. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's go to the next verse, Hebrews 12, 1-3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, us all. How many times we heard God stories, right? Amazing miracles. Things happening. YouTube videos on how God heals people. I mean, Benny Hinn, other stuff. Just check it out. You have this. In your own church, you have so many testimonies, people being healed. Do not be shy to share your testimony when God heals you or does something in your life. Tell it to others. It can encourage them. God uses you. You think God can't use you? Tell what God did in your life and see the miracle which happens in the other person's life. God uses you. He used a donkey in the Old Testament to speak. I tell my father that. My father said, he's a bishop, and so he's an authority, and I'm a bit intimidated. I'm his son, you know. In India, you can spank your kids and stuff. He doesn't spank me anymore, just so you know. But you know, he for me, he's intimidating. He's like a spiritual father and a father. And sometimes I give him advice. He says, "You're giving me advice?" I said, "Dad, God used a donkey. I'm your son." You know? So at least, then he smiles, "Okay, then I will listen to you." You know? Amen. Amen. So, therefore, since we have this cloud of witnesses of what God has done in your lives, your own lives, just look at your life. You know what the devil does? He makes you forget what God did for you in the past. And you lose faith. Remember. Write it down. I suck at taking notes. When I was to college, I used to take the notes from the girls of my class because they wrote good notes. But remember what God has done in your life. Look at how He has brought you out of darkness into light. Look at what He has done. You don't have to tell me. I know what God has done in my life. You know what God has done in your life. Share it with people. Show what God has done. And you will see the amazing miracle of God. And He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every burden, worries, tensions, jobs. I mean, what will I do? Lay it aside. Give it to God because His yoke is lighter. If you give your burdens to Christ, His yoke is lighter. He will solve it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, engulfs us. We easily fall away from sin. Look at the bigger picture, the glory of God. Wow, how to look at it. See the next one. And let us run with endurance that the race is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, see what Jesus did. The author and finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before Him, He knew the joy which was coming afterwards. He understood that joy, that He was willing to endure the cross, despising shame, and now He has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The glory of God. Jesus saw the bigger picture. This all sin and small, throw it away. No. We're going to a bigger picture. The glory of God, sitting near the throne of God, sitting with God, having fellowship with Him. The glory which is unseeable is by faith much bigger than our sins and our worries. Leave that aside. Look at God and run the race. It is much glorious, much powerful, much unspeakable than our worries here. Focus on this, that we are going to run out. Focus on Jesus. Look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus say? How did Jesus live His life? Focus on that. That's much bigger. Bigger than what we have here in our world. Amen? Let's go to the next verse, Ephesians 2, 8, 9. I think by now you have come to this conclusion. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it is not by yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Let's say our resident DJ Michael in the back, I'm going to rip off on him. He comes to my birthday and gives me a gift, right? And then ask money for it. Is it a gift?
No.
Amen. I don't know the Dutch way, but I think the Dutch also agree it's not a gift. Yeah. So the saving, the love, it's a gift. The grace is a gift. It has been freely given. You have freely received, freely give. Spread the word. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, not what you do. I'm good. Today I'm a better Christian. Tomorrow I was worse. Yesterday I fell in sin. Yesterday I did better. No. Not the other one. No. It is by grace. It is a gift. Amen? Let's go to the next verse. Titus 3:4-5. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, that is what we do or what we think makes us righteous or how we can earn our way to kingdom of heaven doesn't work, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. John 3:16, he loved us so much. He had mercy, compassion. In the prodigal son, when the father saw the son coming, he did not wait for the son to reach the door. He ran towards the son. When you ask God, God, forgive me, you don't have to do something, go somewhere. He will run to you. He wants you. He loves you. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. God is great. This sums up John 3:16. That's why this verse is my favorite verse. It's amazing what God is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This verse I learned by my father waking up in the morning, waking me up in the morning, and forcing me to learn this verse. And I'm grateful to that. Children, do not despise your parents, especially if they know Christ, because they worry about you, they love you. When you become fathers and mothers yourselves, you will understand their love. Respect your elders, that's what the Bible says. Learn from their wisdom. Amen? John 3:16. It's an amazing verse. For God so loved the world. Think about it. When we were sinners, when we left him, he loved us with an everlasting love. He did not forget us. He made a future for us. And he loves us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. No matter what you do, no matter what the third person does. Nothing. The devil is a liar and he will lie all his time. The only time the devil cannot lie is in the presence of God. You can see that in the Old Testament. But remember this, whenever you hear this whisper in your ear or this thought in your head that you're not worthy, you don't have to be worthy. God made you worthy through his blood, through the blood of Christ. You are a sinner. Doesn't matter. Come as you are. He will fix you. You have an addiction. You have a problem. You have addiction to pornography, whatever, I don't care. Come to Christ. He will fix you. There is no precondition to come to Christ. You come to him and he fixes you. That's it. And he loves you. We are weak as humans. We fall. We stand up. He will pick us up. He will never forget you. That means no matter how many times you fall, he'll pick you up. He loves you with an everlasting love. Can a father see his son die and suffer? No. Why would God do that? We as earthly parents know how to give good things to our kids, even though we are evil, as Jesus says. How much more the Father in heaven will give to those who ask of the Holy Spirit, who ask of good things? Brothers and sisters, with this verse I want to leave you. Meditate on this. See the love of God. How amazing the love is. We sin, yet he loves us. We are weak, yet he loves us. His grace is sufficient for you. That's what he says. His grace. Capture that grace. Grow in it. Do not say, okay, this is an easy way for me to keep on sinning. That's not the message. That's a dangerous area. Intention is our weaknesses to overcome them. Because God loved us. And he will never forsake us. Amen? I think I would like to keep this time now as a time of prayer. I'd like to invite our pastor.